Hi there, this is Richard Kerr, founder of the Bleed Me Help Method. Recovery stories are so inspirational and so powerful, and we love having them on the site. And today we have Pat Murray, who's come on the site today to share her story. She joined Bleed Me Help in December 2011, and she's had great success with the program. And thankfully today she's agreed to come on and share her story with us all. So I'd just like to say hello, Pat.
Hi, Richard.
So, Pat, as you can hear, is an Irish person too. So there's two Irish people on the line. So I do apologise if at times we might be difficult to understand. But Pat, can you tell us a little bit about your situation at the moment and why you agreed to come on today to share your story?
Well, I've had an eating disorder for over 45 years, and I understand how isolating and how difficult it can be, and I'm now fully recovered. So maybe some of the steps I took and some of the things I've done will inspire other people to get help and recover as well, and experience life to the full and really enjoy themselves without food obsession and constantly worrying about calories and weight and body image, because life can be absolutely amazing on the other side of bulimia.
That's amazing. And you're experiencing all those benefits at the moment. Life without bulimia, at the moment you're currently enjoying that, is that right?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Like, I've so much time, so much money, so much abundance of everything. Even energy now is abundant. I can go out to the theatre, go to the cinema, go for a coffee and just enjoy walks along the beach. Things that I wouldn't have had time for or money for before, because the eating disorder would have zapped it and drained me totally. But now life is great fun. I can sit and look at a sunset and really see it and feel it. Whereas before, there always seemed to be a fog or cloud around me because of the food obsession and the eating disorder. I've never really experienced life before, because I've had the eating disorder for so many decades. So this, it's phenomenal. It's really incredible, just living life.
And that's
and then relationships have
improved. Yes, sorry, you were saying
relationships have improved as well. And I can connect in a different way with people. It goes way beyond food. You know, this Christmas, for example, the focus was on love, on my son's daughter, my husband, rather than it being about food. The focus was totally different, and it was amazing just connecting, relaxing, talking, and just being really with them rather than constantly thinking about what I'm going to eat next, how I'm going to possibly purge, all the things I used to focus on every occasion, be it birthdays or Easter or Christmas. Whereas now it was the focus was totally changed and my thoughts were different, and it was easy, which is the most. Didn't have to plan. It was easy.
So you feel like you're free from, your mind's free from thinking about bulimia, free from thinking about food, and you can now live, really, and enjoy all the things that you weren't able to enjoy in the past.
Totally, yeah. And I find that
yes, sorry, you're saying interrupted.
Oh, sorry, Richard. I find that I'm more tuned into my body. I can listen to it. And if it's hungry, I'll feed it what it wants. And that's new to me as well. I never would have really listened. And even if I did listen and hear my body screaming at me for nourishment, I would have ignored it and not responded. Whereas now I can listen, tune in, be aware of what's happening, and then respond by giving my body what it needs, be it food, rest, scream, nourishment, whatever.
That's brilliant. You're building up that relationship and that trust.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know for many, many people listening that this is so inspirational and so powerful, because people do lose hope of ever recovering. And you can see why, because if you try to recover so many times and you continue to fail, eventually you think, well, maybe I am broken, or maybe I can't recover, or maybe it's just the way I was born. But we always try to emphasize the point that, look, you can recover. And we've seen people on the site, you know, have eating disorders for so many years, and also, you know, very severe cases where they binge purge and you'll be up to 10 times a day, and they do recover. But it's difficult for people to believe that. So that's why your story is so powerful, because you've suffered for so long, which is it's terribly sad as well, you know, to go through that level of pain and suffering. But it can be extremely empowering to people to hear it. So if you'd like to go through your whole story, you know, and just sort of, you can let us know how your eating disorder began and sort of share your journey throughout your life and your recovery, if that's okay.
My first memories of the eating disorder were when I was actually 3 or 4 years old. I was very anxious, and as a child, and I was too afraid to eat when I was at the school dinners, and when I'd come home, I'd be really starving, and my mother would encourage me to eat a dinner, but I'd give most of it to my brother when her back was turned. So I was very malnourished, and then in the morning time she would sit with me until I'd eaten my Weetabix and drunk my Ribena, and immediately afterwards I would go to the bathroom and be very sick. I would feel nauseous and too full and uncomfortable.
Okay. Wow, that
was a young age. So the pattern started when I was that young. And then the headmaster at school saw that I wasn't eating dinner, so he took me home when I was about 4 or 5 at this stage, and told my mother that she was wasting her money buying school dinners for me because I wasn't eating them, and he felt there was some kind of problem. So after a while she brought me to the doctor, and he said, if she's eating anything at all, it doesn't matter if she's being sick, because she's getting enough nourishment. And he reckoned it was a problem that I'd grow out of, and it was not important in his eyes. Because at that stage, remember, that was the 1960s, bulimia wasn't a known disorder at that stage.
That's right, yeah.
And the doctor wouldn't have, he just didn't understand what was happening, I suppose. But it was, it continued then till the end of 2011. I carried on with that pattern all through primary school, and I didn't really have any friends. I isolated myself a lot because I would have been really weak, too weak to play with the other kids at school, and very, very depressed. I would have cried myself to sleep every night, and then would have wakened up extremely early in the morning, unable to get back to sleep again because I'd be so cold and so tired and so depressed and shaking at times from lack of energy. And my mother was extremely busy because there were 4 younger children in the house There was about a year between each of us, and she was very busy, and my father was an alcoholic, so it wasn't her fault. It was just something that happened, and because of me starving myself, it just got into that pattern. But and she, I suppose, felt helpless as well, because she didn't know how to help me other than put nice meals down and hope that I would eat them. And so I was very, very sad and felt unloved because I wasn't the focus of her attention. And that changed my body image and my self-image. I felt that I wasn't good enough, that my thoughts became distorted because I was so malnourished. Yeah. I felt inadequate and never good enough. And when I went to secondary school, I did make some friends at that stage, and but I ate such strange meals and strange lunches. They couldn't understand. They thought I was very different and very strange. Mm-hmm. And I would always have to go to the bathroom then afterwards for quite a while in order to purge the lunch up again. But and I still functioned and passed exams just about, because study was difficult to factor in, because I was spending so much time binging and worrying about food and worrying about my weight. And
so this was multiple times a day, or every meal, or at this stage was it?
It was always after breakfast, because I would feel so nauseous and full after breakfast, and then sometimes after lunch at school, and then in the evening time, as soon as I got home, I would eat loads of bread and butter and jam, and I would have been sick after that as well. So it was a couple of times a day.
And so I take it this was late 1960s at this stage, and like you said earlier, there was no definition of bulimia, or wasn't really a recognised thing. So did you have any idea what this was, or did you know of anyone else who experienced these things as well, or did you feel like you're the only person who suffered this way?
I felt I was the only person who suffered like this, but I knew it wasn't right. And from the very first time, I knew that there was a problem, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I couldn't really talk to anyone, because I felt it was my fault. And I just tried to hide it and live with it and just get on with life as best I could. Mm-hmm. Even though my brothers and sisters probably knew about it, and they ostracized me quite a bit because of my mood swings, because of my behavior, and I didn't really get on with them.
So obviously it sounds like a challenging time, to say the least. It's heartbreaking to hear that you suffered from so young. I don't think of my experience in doing Blame Me Health for the last 5 years, I've had anyone who started so early, which is it's quite sad. My heart goes out to you for that. So as you continued on through your teenage years and into your 20s, I mean, was there anywhere you could seek help or anything you could do to get any sort of support, or was there anything at all there for you?
I wasn't aware of any support at all. I didn't actively look for any, but I was very embarrassed and ashamed at that stage, and I hid it as much as I could. And I didn't know where to go. I had absolutely no idea that there could be support or help, and I certainly wasn't going to go to the doctor and talk to him about it. I just wouldn't have been able to do that. I was too frightened, too embarrassed, ashamed. Yeah.
I know Irish, from my experience, the Irish culture, the people, it is in our sort of culture not to talk about things like that and to not seek help, which is unfortunate. I know my parents, and like my mum has had experience in her past with different issues, and it's just an Irish thing of just under the table, don't talk about it, and it's not a healthy thing to do at all. That's just our culture, I suppose. Just take us on then. So as you went through your life, what was your first attempt at recovery, or where did you first reach out, or what was there anything really that came along at all really to help support you?
Well, I read diet books thinking I'd get information on nutrition and maybe figure out a way to overcome the eating problems I had. So I went on diets to lose weight and reduce my appetite, but that just made matters worse. But at no point did I find anything at all that could help me. I did go to counselling for a while, but it wasn't geared towards the eating disorder, and I didn't find that the type of counselling helped me at all. It was basically just talking about it evaded the eating disorder totally and focused in on other problems that had occurred in my life, like some abuse, emotional abuse and some physical abuse. But they happened after the eating disorder was established, and the counselling, it didn't really help me around that at all.
Yeah, it doesn't deal with the core issue. And so what did you think at that time? I know you said you're aware that it was wrong and you're blaming yourself. So did you think there was just something wrong with the way you were made, or what was your thinking? Do you think did you understand it was a restrictive diet issue, or what were your thoughts about the situation and about what you were going through? What do you think it was at the time?
I thought I had no discipline and no self-control, and I blame myself 100% for what was happening. I didn't for a moment think it was anything to do with me starving and not nourishing my body. I had no clue of that. And yet, every time I binged, I've attempted to be even more disciplined and harder on myself and to control myself even more.
Yeah, it's like those finger traps, those Chinese finger traps. The more you try to pull, the harder they get, and the more trapped you become. Like, so your family members knew about it, but like you say, there's no one to talk to. It obviously affected your life greatly. So what was the turning point? When did you decide to, what was the starting point for recovery for you, or when did you start to think I can maybe get some light to come over this, or when did you start that process?
Well, in November 2011, I decided to learn to use a computer, and I was surfing the web in December because my eating was so out of control. I felt I was actually going to die quite soon. And I Googled bulimia, and I came across the bulimia help method and started reading about it and felt a sense of hope and thought this might be able to help me.
So you didn't seek any help prior to the bulimia help method?
No, never. Nothing.
That's Ireland free. There's no support at all.
Yeah.
It's a shame. So I'm delighted to hear that you obviously found our program. And so reading through the book and the method, did it help to explain the situation for you, or what were your thoughts then?
Oh, when I read the e-book, I was blown away. It made so much sense, and I realised that it wasn't my fault, that it was due to starvation, malnourishment, and it was an automatic response that the body made as a result of that. And everything I read in the book was so apt about the being Georges, the purging, the whole cycle, and how it the same process would affect anyone and everyone who starved themselves. And it was an eye-opener, it was a revelation to me, and I really felt, God, well, if all of that is true, and then maybe I can recover. And I started to get a little bit of hope.
And so how did you go about starting the recovery process? Did you just start following the steps, following the structured eating, rebalancing your body? Or what did you do first, and how did you begin that process? Because I know for most people starting out in recovery, it's challenging. You're going through changes, and you know, there's a lot of fear involved, because you're basically stepping out into the unknown, and you're hoping, you're putting your trust in a method and a system, and you're hoping it'll work. But it's a time of change, and change does bring out worry. So how did you deal with that, the process of starting recovery, and how did that work for you, and how did it happen?
Well, I started off with structured eating. While I was reading the book, it was saying start as soon as possible, and I thought, okay, I'm doing this now. And I started eating every 3 hours. I balanced the meals as best I could, but I was still binging and purging. Just felt that I couldn't get a handle on that. But I kept working through it. I believed that if I followed the process, if I started by eating every 3 hours, getting some protein, good fats, and some carbs into me every 3 hours, then my body would eventually adjust. But the binging and purging kept continuing. I was very frightened about letting them go, and I wasn't sure if I had bulimia for too long, that maybe I was different and my body couldn't recover, and the pattern was too ingrained for me to actually change. I thought, maybe I'm different. It's beyond me. But I kept persevering with little change until I saw the coaching program, and I thought, I need to give this a shot. I need something extra, something more than, in order to help me really shift this old pattern and really make a change.
That's something I'm realizing more and more over the years, is how important that extra support can be for people, especially someone like yourself who has never had that support in place for them. And it is there to sort of support, guide, and you know, just give you that encouragement and to hold your hand, to guide you down the path. So you signed up to the coaching program with Catherine, who's been on the site now for... She actually joined Bulimia Help. She's one of the very first people to join our site. And she followed the method, and she recovered, and she stayed on the forums and the blogs, and she spent, like, I think about 2 years. She was on there nearly every day and supporting people and helping people. And I always thought to myself, if I could employ anyone with this business, or, you know, with the Bulimia Help, I would employ Catherine. Like, and as soon as I was able to do that, I spoke to Catherine. She was happy to come on board, and we talked about it, and she said she'd like to be a coach and just use her experience and guidance to guide people along that process. Because if you've spent any time with Catherine, you know she's got a heart of gold, and there's probably no one better. I can think of no one better, really, to do that service. So just then people know who you signed up with and a little bit about Catherine. So you signed up to the coaching program. That was about a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, the 23rd of February. I can remember it so well. I was rock bottom, and I was new to technology, so I hadn't really found my way around the website, and I didn't know how to communicate with the other people on the site, mm-hmm. the whole community. And when I signed up for the coaching, that day just changed my life totally. Meeting Catherine, chatting with her, just getting to know her and feeling that there was someone there who could really understand what I was going through and believed in me, really. That was the secret. She believed in me, and she had done it herself, and that helped me to believe in myself then. And I healed as a result of Catherine walking beside me, and I felt that she was shining a very bright torch, showing me and guiding me the way to recovery. And from that day forward, I've only thought positively about recovery. I 100% believed I could do it. And she showed me how to love myself, how to take care of myself, things that I really didn't know how to do. And she gave me permission to be myself. And she also gave me permission to rest, to enjoy recovery and experience recovery to the full, the whole recovering process, the pain of it, the joys of it, the highs, the lows, the relapses, and everything was okay. She never judged me. She accepted me and always encouraged me. And because of Catherine, I bought a sun lounger and covered it with soft fleeces, and I called it my healing chair. I would recline in the sun lounger in the middle of winter and really focus on myself, feel the anxiety, anger, pain that was coming to the surface that wasn't being numbed out with food anymore, really feeling it, feeling the depression, experience it. And what I gradually found was, by being mindful, by really feeling the feelings, that they were actually okay. They moved. They were moving through my body and out of it if I allowed them. It was the holding on to them, the trying to prevent them moving, prevent the pain. That was what caused the tension and the pain more than anything. Whereas when I allowed the feelings to move, like emotion is energy in motion, and it was okay. I became familiar with them, and they actually became okay. And when I really got to know them, a very strange thing happened when one day I decided to sit with a very depressed, sad feeling. And the deeper I went into it, it seemed to become bottomless. And eventually I got to a point where it disappeared, that there was a brightness down at the very bottom of it, and it was gone. And I started looking for it inside in myself, and that depression was totally evaporated just by allowing it and accepting it. It was, I saw it was an illusion, it wasn't real.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's amazing.
It was, it reminds me of Stephen Hawking's black holes and baby universe, where you fall into a black hole and you go down to the point of singularity down at the very bottom, where he says he maintains that's where all the answers are, that bright single point at the bottom of a black hole. And I think we fall, you know, if we allow ourselves to go into the depression, there is that point of singularity where the answers are and the illusion's gone.
You're 100% right there, and that's, you know, I firmly believe in everything you're saying there, 100%. And it's the struggling on and the fighting the feelings is where the battle begins. And there's an amazing book called The Happiness Trap. I think, what's the name? The author, someone, Harris, The Happiness Trap. And it's all about exactly what you're saying. It's about the struggling and the fighting of the emotions, and the not sitting with them, not being comfortable is what's causing the stress and strain. But if you just sit with them and just learn to accept them and realize that it's just a form of energy, and to let it flow, and eventually it does pass. And I used to suffer from anxiety in my past too, and that a very similar process was used for me or shown for me, and it totally healed it overnight, really, like when I discovered it. But I'm just so delighted to hear that you had such success with it, because it's these methods can be challenging. You have to trust them, and it's very rewarding to hear that you managed to process all these emotions and work through it. I'd like to talk more about that journey you went through. You had bulimia 43 years, so when you started to recover with Catherine, I'm sure there was some big challenges along the way. How did you confront those? Was it sort of easier with Catherine, or did she provide the advice? Or, I mean, you know, for example, how did you manage to overcome bloating? I know for many people that's a major stumbling block in their recovery.
Bloating was horrendous for me. My clothes got very tight, and I had to go up a size. And it frightened me at first, and Catherine encouraged me to stop weighing myself and stop checking. And I did that. I trusted Catherine 100%, and I did what she said, because the bulimic thoughts were not helping, and I hadn't really gotten to know myself. And so I knew if I trusted Catherine, I could recover. So I stopped weighing myself and stopped checking myself in the mirror. And I started to dress myself nicely for the shape I was. Even though the bloating felt very uncomfortable, and at times I would just lie down and hold my tummy and send as much love as I could to that part of myself, knowing that it was healing and it was all going to be okay, and it was going to be short term. Again, because of my age, I'm now 49, so like 48, 49, I thought maybe I'm too old to recover. Maybe the bloating will never go because I'm older than most people who are recovering from bulimia on the website, and it'll be different for me. But it turns out that it wasn't different for me. My digestive system has healed. I'm in great shape now. I've got energy. My son sent me a challenge to run a 5-mile race at the end of January, and I took him up on it, not really thinking I could do it, because my energy had been so low for many years. And I did it. I ran 5 miles at the end of January in 50 minutes, which I was delighted with.
That's good. 50 minutes is very good. Well done. It's a great time.
Yeah. Without Catherine...
<That's good. laughs>
Without Catherine, I couldn't have done that. It was just one step at a time. Another issue she had me with was procrastination. I was forever putting off changes, and she really helped me to take very small steps, but they were so powerful. I changed on a very deep level just by facing up to things. Like, I was, when I started recovery, initially I was binging and purging. Then gradually I was what Catherine termed binge grazing. So I was eating a lot at night time, and I thought that was going to remain. I thought that this is the one aspect of recovery that I won't be able to recover, because it felt so ingrained and seemed essential to me. But Catherine encouraged me to stop procrastinating just to do it. Really got me thinking that maybe I could, and gradually that went. By reporting back to Catherine and saying, oh, I did it today, or I didn't achieve it, and it really expressing what was going on for me and why I felt like a failure, and her telling me that it's okay, that I can try, I can do it, mm-hmm. if I just make little changes. And she accepted me totally, even though I was falling and getting up. She never judged me. She always accepted me and really encouraged me. I felt so safe. She was like a perfect angel.
That's a good point. Not the first person to say that, actually. But that's a good point, is also you mentioned, is that that was the idea of the coaching program. It's supposed to be a safe place to fail, and a safe place to fall down, and to make mistakes, and to, you know, to screw up, because we're all human and that's what we do. And, you know, the idea of the coach is not to judge you, not to say, look, you failed there. That's absolutely never the case. It's someone you can lean on, someone you can go, look, I had a really bad day today, I don't know what happened. And the coach is there for you specifically. That's one of the great things of coaching, is to help you those times, someone you can share with, that they will never judge you. And, you know, it's such a powerful thing to have an ally on your side like that. And obviously, Catherine worked great for you that way. But that's something, I just want to stress that point, you know, we don't judge. And you can be honest and 100% open. That's the whole point. But it's a person or a place you can be 100% you without any worry, without any concerns. And that for many people, that is such a powerful thing in itself, just somewhere you can just express what you're going through. So, what was the biggest challenges? So you said grazing in the evenings, and then you obviously following Catherine's steps, and you managed to overcome that. Was there anything else as well that was challenging for you in recovery? Besides the whole thing, which is kind of one big challenge.
Yeah, yeah, the self-criticism was quite a challenge as well. I would have beaten myself up a lot, but I found that because I wasn't being criticised by Catherine, then gradually my own self-criticism changed, and my body image, the way I viewed myself started to change, and the way my values even changed. So these were the perfectionism that I had was a huge challenge that took me quite a while to overcome. But Catherine again showed me and directed me into really overcoming perfectionism as well. I didn't realise what a big factor perfectionism was with the eating disorder. I wanted to be perfect in order for people to like me and love me. And I felt unless I was perfect, they never would. And Catherine gradually showed me that actually I was perfect just the way I was, and that the way I looked wasn't the most important thing. You can, and I started, based on what Catherine was saying, I started to look at people watch, and I saw such beautiful people who were overweight, underweight, every size and shape. I even saw a beautiful wrinkled old lady who had no teeth, and her beauty was outstanding.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, if I could be that beautiful, it's phenomenal. It's got nothing to do with the size you are, how much you've eaten or haven't eaten. It's my whole perception changed, and it's, I see beauty in such a different way now, and my body image is great. I love my body and it, I really genuinely love my body, and I dress to suit the way I am. My weight is actually, in the end it didn't change. I did put on weight, but it's my weight is right back to where I was before starting the recovery process. Something that I really never believed would have happened, especially during the bloating phase. It was beyond any, I just couldn't conceive of being happy in my body ever again. But I am totally happy to live in this body for the rest of my life. And so, yeah, my body image changed. That perfectionism has eased a lot. It still does surface at times. Like today, I'm so nervous talking to you, Richard.
That's okay.
Because I want to be perfect for you. But but it has certainly changed around my eating. And, you know, there are times that I'm a little too full, and that's perfectly fine. Sometimes I'm a bit hungry, and it's all okay. I don't have to be perfect in order to be healthy and well. And at the end of the day, I am perfect being imperfect. So, yeah, there are...
Because you're absolutely right. It's that building that trust with your body, and it's kind of like a little bit of relaxation as well, just to go, you know, it's okay. It's okay if I don't get it right today, or if it's okay if it's just not perfect. I mean, that's perfect. That's the kind of balance you want to get. And it is challenging. You're absolutely right. I'm so delighted to hear that you're coming across or getting over those obstacles so well and so challenges. So I just want to ask you about that bloating as well. How long did that last for you? Was it a couple of weeks or a month or two? Or
I joined at the end of February. I really got going on my recovery when I joined the coaching. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was still binging and purging a lot. So from the end of February to August, about 6 months, I suppose.
So you felt the bloating for about 6 months?
Yeah. Yeah, it was that long, because I was binge grazing and eating too much, you know, more than my body needed. I hadn't really got the hunger scale working properly. I was going beyond a 7 or an 8 every night. So the bloating, yeah, it did continue for about 6 months for me. That was...
Yeah.
My body.
That's good for people to hear that too, because I know people are concerned that it won't go away, and for everyone it's different. Like, you hear some people have it for a couple of weeks, some people it's a couple of months. But I just want to stress, it does go away, doesn't it? You do get over it, and it's a massive moment in your recovery, because it's one of the most challenging times. So you've gone through the recovery process, and you followed a structured eating. Catherine was there supporting you, guiding you, helping you along the way. And it's still a big journey to do. I can only imagine, I can't even imagine, to be honest. You know, you have been for 43 years. So for you, you've never really experienced life without an eating disorder. So it's quite a massive journey, really. And so, like, what does it feel like now? Is every day a new experience because you're experiencing it without the cloak of bulimia, or like, how does it feel at the moment?
It's incredible. I get up in the morning thinking, oh, what can I do today? It's just so exciting knowing that I'm free. I used to, in the throes of bulimia, I'd look out the window at people walking past and I'd be so envious that they could escape from their house without having to stay in binging and purging. I was totally trapped. But now I'm one of those people going out for a walk, and just the other day I went for a little jog and I could feel the rain and the wind, and I had a raincoat on. It just felt so powerful experiencing that cold water falling on my face. And at the start I was resisting it and saying, oh, this is so cold, I wish it was back. And then when I really felt it, it was life. It was incredible. I thought that it was one of the best experiences ever. And sometimes I started to think, this time last year I was so close to dying, and now I'm so full of life and energy and really seeing what else I can do, where I can go, and you know, what else I can experience. It's really great. It's lovely.
I think that's a wake up call for everyone there, you know, or that, you know, really life is full of those beautiful moments, and you know, just don't stop and look around and enjoy them. Like, and you know, I guess should go out for a jog in the rain next time it's there, because you're right, it's these are the moments that make life special and magic, you know. Wow. So what about when did you feel like you were recovered? When did that, was there a moment when you went, you know what, I think I've done this, or was it just a gradual change? Or
it was a gradual change, but I was always saying, well, I'm doing really well in recovery, but I don't feel recovered yet. It was just after Christmas, whenever it was so easy and I wasn't thinking or obsessing about food, that I realised, well, I did that without planning it, without worrying about it. It was intuitive, and I thought I was going to have to go back to structured intuition, you know, where I was using some structured eating and some intuitive eating over the holiday period, but I didn't need to do that at all. It was all intuitive eating, and I knew after the Christmas period was over, I knew that I was recovered, and it was such a fantastic feeling. No urges, no binge urges, no attempts to restrict or starve myself. And I knew at that point, so it was over a couple of weeks, I started to realise, hey, I'm recovered. And it felt really good just knowing that. And I've no need now to use the guided eating audio, or I loved the Mind Power audio, that they were tools that really helped me get to this stage, but I don't need those anymore, and I thought I would need them forever. And so it was quite quick, that knowing that I was recovered, to happen quite quickly in the end.
And that's, yes, yeah. What you said there too, I think, was similar to Ali when she was recovering. It was like, it was more that she just forgot to think about it. It was like she went through a situation that was stressful that normally feel the need to, you know, binge, or, you know, should have those bulimia thoughts coming through. She would experience the situation. Then afterwards, only afterwards, reflecting back, she went, wow, I just went through that and it was much easier than before. And I didn't even think about, you know, food or think about this or think about that. And it's sort of looking back in retrospect, overcoming these new challenges that you're facing. You know, I mean, every, you know, life can be stressful, and just dealing with these situations that beforehand would have been more challenging, but now you can, they're much more easier to deal with. Beforehand there would have been mountains, and now they're like, they're molehills, as the saying goes. So that's obviously Christmas, and I know in Ireland Christmas is a huge, huge thing. It's massive. I think it's just like America, it's huge. So it can be a stressful time for many people, and you manage to go through the holiday period and stick with intuitive eating and not have any binge urges or no bulimia thoughts really over that time. That's amazing. Pat, really is amazing. So what's in the future for you? What's your plans now? You know, you've got everything ahead of you.
I'm writing a book at the moment for kids about nutrition, and it's fictional, but it's bringing in issues regarding food and body image, and just it's bringing through the basis of proteins, fats, you know, carbohydrates, minerals and vitamins, and helping kids to understand about eating disorders. And it's based on the planet Zogo, so it's a bit far-fetched, but yet there's a lot of key issues being dealt with through metaphors and helping kids understand about the importance of good nutrition and seeing themselves in a positive light and looking at life in as positive a way as possible. And the scientists, hopefully, on this far-off planet in another universe will help them understand a little bit more about how to enjoy life without ever resorting to an eating disorder to cope.
I think you could even do a story about your life and your history, because I know so many people would love to hear more about it, because you've been through a big, big journey, and, you know, talking to you now is so inspirational. You know, the way you look at life and the story you said about jogging in the rain and all—it's a powerful and uplifting and encouraging thing for so many people. So if you ever felt like writing another book, I'm sure you could share your story there. Or if you wanted to post your share your story with us on the site, we can easily do that as well. Put one on the site for you as well. I'm sure many people love to hear more about it. So go ahead. Sorry,
I download a writer's app on my iPad because I thought it was a great place to do my writing. So I have started writing my life story, and I'm enjoying it. It's great looking back, seeing where I was and comparing it and contrasting it to where I am now. And it's fantastic to see the change that can be made in life, and it's all down to bulimia help. Catherine in particular, yourself, Richard, even Ali and the Guide to Eating audio. It's change is possible and guaranteed. Just making up your mind, making the decision to do it and not letting anything stand in the way. It's where stubbornness can be beneficial, and deciding to be stubborn and committed brings on a whole new way of living, a whole new life, and it's incredible.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So thank you.
Well thank you for coming on and joining our site and trusting the method and, you know, working with us. And, you know, I'm so delighted talking to you here on the phone. I've got a big smile on my face. It really is an amazing story. So, if you could talk to yourself and give some advice to yourself or to someone who wasn't standing in front of you now, who had an eating disorder, like what would you share with them? What would you let them know? And you know, what tips would you want to share, or what would you tell them to get them through recovery?
The thing is to trust the method, the bulimia help method, and listen to your coach and follow the steps, because I find the bulimia thoughts would always come to the fore, and I couldn't trust them because they would have led me straight back to the eating disorder. So I had to have something else to follow, some other thought patterns, before healthy patterns became ingrained. So by trusting the method 100%, following the steps, using all the tools, listening to the mind power audio, the guided eating, communicating on the site with all the fantastic people in the community, and making friends, and it really helps your awareness, helps you understand what makes bulimia tick and how to change that. And rest is key as well, and mindfulness. Catherine taught me how to be hyper aware, so when I was binge grazing, she helped me to become very, very sensitive to what was going on, and watching with an extremely keen eye everything I was doing, and that helped me change old patterns as well. And trust the method totally, and follow the steps, and use all the tools, the thought buster tools, and the mental rehearsal. Record your binges, be honest, because I find by being honest on the site with other members or with your coach, it helps you to be honest to yourself. And once you can really truly be honest with yourself, then you start to realize you're okay, and you can start to love yourself unconditionally. And once there's unconditional love, there's total healing. It's inevitable. And I was taught to love myself unconditionally by joining the bulimia help method, and it's what healed me.
I'd love to hear more about that too, but what you just said there about being honest with yourself and honest with your emotions, and because I know when I was writing the book, that side of like dealing with emotions is a very challenging topic, and I must have read so many self-help books, and everybody had different ideas and different thoughts and feelings, and it's difficult to find ones that are really effective. And I agree with you 100% when you talked about being open and sitting with emotions and being honest and processing them. But it's still, I practice this myself, but at times it can be challenging. Like, for example, I feel a little bit homesick for Ireland at times, and you know, hearing your voice is lovely and all, but you know, because I'm over in Australia, so I'm trying to practice those skills on those emotions at times too. And it is a skill. It's something you practice and you get better at and you work at. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too, Pat, because you've you know, your experience in that area is so profound. I'm sure you could learn a thing or two from me as well, definitely in that. I'm so delighted that you come on and share your story. I know for so many people this is going to be so inspirational. You know, one of the biggest issues with people with eating disorders and bulimia is thinking they just cannot recover. That's not possible. And I think you've definitely proven that's not true, and explored that myth. Doesn't matter how long or how intense. And we just had another member on the site who recovered, and she's age 60. So there's no limit.
Brilliant.
There's no limit. So is there anything else you'd like to share with us, or anything, any points that we missed you want to talk about?
I suppose the main thing is to join. You know, if you're in doubt about, you know, joining the program at all, just do it. It's the best way to get through the recovery process in the shortest time possible, and just listen and use all the tools. I've said that before, but it's so important because it does take a while to trust. I was very skeptical at the start, and it took me a while. And by meditating, you know, relaxing, listening, and just checking in every day, and, you know, really focusing on recovery and the healing process every day, every minute of every day, and taking two steps forward and one step back, and you'll definitely get there. It's possible, not only possible, it's probable. If you follow the steps, you'll definitely recover. Definitely. I'm so convinced of that. So just get started and trust the process and do it.
I think you hit the nail on the head too, saying, you know, engulf yourself with recovery if possible, wherever you can. You know, use the tools, use the site. With Ali, when she recovered, we were talking about it all the time, you know, and it was pretty much all we talked about. And at the start, she didn't want to talk about it that much, but I wanted to learn more about it. And she was engulfed in it, you know, and that level of input makes changes. You know, you can't just dip your toe in the water. You've got to jump in and fully embrace recovery and go through the whole process, because there's changes to be made, and you've got to change your thought processes and the way you look about things, and you know, you've got to learn a lot as well, learn about yourself, and you can't do that. Well, you can do it little by little, but really the more you embrace recovery, the more you really give it 100% of everything you've got, you know, and follow the steps like you said, and to trust it as well, because there are times when you'll doubt it and you'll think, you know what, will this bloating go away, or you know, perhaps I'm just broken, or perhaps it won't work for me. But we've proven it time and time and time again that this system does work. You know, there's so many people now that back it up 100%. So I'm just going to sort of backing up what you're saying there too, Pat. You know, I 100% agree with that too. So, I mean, I'm sure people listening to this really will enjoy your story, and I really want to thank you again for sharing it with us. I'd love to.
You're very welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to keep in touch as well. You know, I wouldn't want to think this is the last we'll hear from you. I'd love to hear about your book and, you know, what you're doing with your life, and if you ever want to share your story with us, or if you do write a book about your story recovery, you know, I'm happy to promote it on the site as well, of course. But certainly, you know, if you ever want to just follow up in a year down the line, go, here's what I've learned. You know, another year into recovery. And because I'm no doubt about it, I know you're on a journey right now, and the journey's only just begun, really. You know, you're so many great discoveries, and I think every day you'll be picking up something new. You'll learn about life and about your pleasures and things you enjoy and things that make you happy, and you know, things that before you weren't able to experience, you'll be experiencing them now. So I have no doubt that you'll have a, you know, the next year or two will be just an amazing journey of discovery for you, really. You know, new emotions and new feelings and a new sense of calm and all that sort of stuff, which is so exciting. But yeah, absolutely, if you want to get, I mean, I'd love to keep in touch, and maybe a year in the line we can do another one of these and you can share your story further.
And also, I'd love just that.
It's also just good to hear the Irish accent too.
Thank you, Richard.
Well, thank you, and we'll close it there then. Thank you very much, Pat.
Thanks, Richard.